I want you to think about, just for a moment, our theme for this month is going to be harvest. And we got various ideas that are related to the harvest. How many of us really enjoy working? You know, I probably, like many of us, look forward to those periods of time when I don't have to do anything in particular. And yet, at the same time, I know, me personally, I can't stand to be idle. It grates on my nerves. I feel like I'd have to be doing something. And really, if we look at the scriptures, it goes back all the way to the beginning. Man has always been assigned work to do. If we take a look at Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, and in verse 15, it says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it." From the very beginning, when man was created, he was given a task to do. So Adam started out life as a gardener. But when sin entered the world, that light work that he was assigned to do became a serious struggle for survival. And in fact, in Genesis 3 and verse 17, "Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it in all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles shall grow for you, and you shall eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.'" And as we go even into the New Testament, we find that as Christians we are commanded to work. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse 11, it says, "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, and attend to your own business and work with your hands, just as we have commanded you." And as we had in the scripture reading in chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians 3, it says for in verse 6, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you have received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship, we kept on working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we didn't have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you so that you will follow our example. Even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, working or doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies." It's not haphazard work either that God expects from us. When he tells us that we need to work, we're expected to put our best effort into it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. There's a time for rest after we die. But while we're working, we are to put our best effort into it." In fact, we're told as we work that we're to work as if God is our boss. Take a look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 23. "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for man. I am working so that I might please my Lord." And God will then reward us according to our labors. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 5, Slaves, be obedient to those who are your master according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of your heart, as to Christ. Not by way of eye service, as man-pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. So there should be no lack of diligence on our part. There's no lack of effort in the things that we approach, in the things that we do. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And the problem is that it's really dangerous to become lazy. We enjoy those times off, but it could get to a point where we get lazy. And there's problems with laziness. There's much said about it in Proverbs. In chapter 26, is where we'll go to. Proverbs 26, and we're going to start at verse 13. Proverbs 26, starting at verse 13. The sluggard says, there's a lion in the road. A lion is in the open square. As the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is wearied to bring it even to his mouth again. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. Like one who takes a dog by the ears is he who passes by and meddles with strife that not belonging to him. Like a madman. Oh, I want to stop there. I want you to notice what it starts out with the first proverb that we just read. In verse 13, it says, a sluggard says there's a lion in the road, a lion in the open square. You know, the lazy give excuses for why they can't go to work. Sometimes those excuses might be a little more far-fetched. Now, yes, we've seen mountain lions. They've even shown up in Omaha a few times. I don't know too many people said, well, you know, there's a mountain lion in Omaha. I can't go to work today. But that's the type of excuses some people give. Anything that you can grasp at, that's the reason I can't work today. In chapter 22, is another type of excuse. In verse 13, so the sluggard says, there's a lion outside, I'll be killed in the streets. And some of the translations will say that it's too cold or too dangerous. Too cold is in Proverbs 20, in verse 4. The sluggard does not plow after autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. Who wants to go out in the fields and plow when it starts getting, there's frost on the ground? It's too cold to do work. There will always be times when we don't accomplish our goals. We have things that we want to do, and there's going to be times when I just don't have enough time to get it done, despite our best efforts. However, we keep using various hindrances that as permissions not to finish our work, a whole lot less is going to get done. And we got to understand that when we use too many excuses, that gets irritating to people. In Proverbs 10, look at verse 26. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him. The other thing that was mentioned back in Proverbs 26, I got 22:4. Hold on a second. I think it was supposed to have been 26:4. 14. Hold on. Yeah. 26:14. In Proverbs 26, going back to verse 14, it says, as the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed. point is that, you know, you open a door, it moves, but it comes right back. And the imagery is that of a lazy person who's lying on bed. Yeah, he rolls over, but he never gets out of bed. The lazy basically avoid starting work. They never make any progress. They don't even get started. We need to learn from the lesson from the ant in Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, and in verse, starting in verse 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepare her food in the summer and gathers provisions for in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, a rest. Your poverty will come upon, come like in a vagabond, and you'll need like an armed man. No, the ant gathers basically when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. Now, we talk about sometimes, you know, this summer was kind of hot. Now, the ants were still out there working, finding food, gathering it. And, of course, in the harvest, it's easy because there's lots of food to be gathered. But the ant's still working. And even though the ant may not be able to carry much at time, it accumulates over time. And that's the lesson that we need to understand. We got to start. We got to do things. We got to keep going. A little bit here, a little bit there, eventually makes a difference. But also in Proverbs 26, this dive down in verse 15, it says, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish, and he's weary of bringing it to his mouth again. Some people are so lazy they can't even help themselves. The image is of a man who's just so tired, he's sitting at the table and he puts his hand in the dish and he's just too tired to bring the food back up to his own mouth. Now it doesn't ruin, he doesn't get anything, it ruins for everybody else that's trying to eat from that table. A lazy person, rather, other people take care of them. But in Proverbs 24, there's a warning in verse 30. It says, I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles. And its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands of rest. Yet your poverty will come as a robber and your want as an armed man. Just as like the ant says, a little bit of work, just continually getting things done, will accumulate over time. Same thing happens when things fall apart. Yeah, I know that needs to be fixed. Oh, yeah, I know that needs to be fixed. Oh, that. Next thing you know, the house has fallen down. But it didn't fall down all at once. It's because nobody's been putting the effort to keep it maintained. The imagery that's shown here is that of a field. Yeah, you know, that stone fell out of the wall. I need to put it back up one of these days. Yeah, there are a couple of weeds there. I need to get out there someday and pull them. Put it off a little bit at a time, and next thing you know, you're looking as there's too much work to be done. The wall's all fallen down. The field's full of weeds. And where'd that happen? A little bit at a time. Laziness will bring on poverty. And the lazy also want things, but they won't put in the effort to get them. In Proverbs 13 and in verse 4. Proverbs 13 verse 4 says, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. And even the little things that he does have, he wastes. In Proverbs 18, Proverbs 18 and verse 9. He also is he who slack in his work is a brother of him who destroys. Laziness is just plain destructive. What God is telling us is we have to give diligent effort. Now that hard work, it will eventually be denoted. It will be rewarded. I remember talking to a young man down in Brazil, and he kept looking at other people and said, "Well, these guys, everybody else, you know, they do brilliant things, and then they take all this time off, and what do I get out of it?" I said, "Well, work hard. It'll be noticed. Oh, I put lots of effort into it. Nobody ever appreciates what I do." Well, after a few months, he said, "You wouldn't believe what happened. The boss, the owner of the company came by and told me in front of everybody else how good of a job I was doing." And that's the point that Proverbs makes in Proverbs 22 and verse 29. "Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." People take notice. And hard work causes you to appreciate also what you have. You know, it's one thing to be given something. It's a whole other thing to earn it and say that I got that from my efforts. In Proverbs 12 and verse 27, "A lazy man does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence." Now, all this we've been talking about is basically work in the general sense. But I want you to take thought of also there's a work that's more special. There's a specific work of each of us that we need to be concerned with. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, and starting at verse 12, Philippians 2 and verse 12. "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Do we approach our lives as Christians by avoiding as much effort as we can? Do you offer excuses as to why you haven't got done the things that you know you should be doing? Do you think God's going to appreciate your clever avoidance in the end? And some people are just too lazy to help themselves. They expect everyone else to hand feed them and pull them into heaven. And yet they're going to lead themselves to their own destruction. So we have to approach being a Christian just like any other work, putting effort into it because it benefits. And it gets us noticed here by the King of Kings. So what about you? Are you working on your salvation? There's a time right now that if there's anyone who wishes to become a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God, would like to praise your brethren on behalf, why don't you come forward and stand and sing the song that was selected.